Hey everybody, on this episode of the GH Report, we've got horse stable fires, a possible West Nile outbreak, and some time in a padded cell, because sometimes you just want to spend a little time in a straitjacket. All that and more coming up next on the GH Report.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
Oh yes! Hey everybody, welcome! It's Sunday afternoon, which means it's time for the GH Report.
Yes, sirree.
That's right. Or, I mean, Sunday evening, depending on where you're at on the coast or in the world.
Yes.
That's true. Absolutely. I'm one of your hosts, Frank Moran.
And I am your co-host, Carla Renata.
And, of course, folks, you can like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Carla's got the chat up and running, so feel free to hop in and share your thoughts. I know she said you've already been chat away in there, so continue the conversation as well as anything that we happen to bring up along the way.
Most definitely.
Yeah, but before we dive into the show in depth, Carla, how did you like this week overall?
You know, I'll fix my hair. Because I looked in the camera and I was looking crazy. This week was, you know, I'm feeling like I say this more often than not. It was a little bit of a slow burn for me. I was expecting more to happen with the whole Carly going back to the loony bin situation than it did. So that was a little bit of a slow burn. But I kind of love the fact that Mary Pat came back. Oh. I love me some Mary Pat because she's crazy as hell.
Yeah. But I like the slow burn because it made it start off slow, but it got a little hot.
It did. It got really interesting toward the end there. I'm like, well, okay then, y'all. Okay, GH.
Well, why don't we start off with that? Because it is a storyline that, yeah, you wanted to see more out of, and I was hoping we'd see a little bit of it, a little bit more than we did, and that is Carly back in Ferncliff.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't so much that I wanted to see more of it, is that I wanted to see it escalate a little bit more. Like, I wasn't expecting them to put her in a padded cell. Like, I'm like, really? She needs to be in a padded cell? And I wasn't expecting Kevin to be gone. Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting Dr. Lazarus, who we have yet to see. But I love the fact that Mary Pat called him a visionary and that he has something special. I'm like, oh, I can't with her. No. Like, I want Carly to, like, do a Houdini out of that straitjacket and just slap the hell out of Mary Pat.
Because I understand Carly hurt somebody else. She injected Mary Pat to get out of the room. She left. But she's not a danger to herself.
No.
So there's really no reason. You put her in a padded cell if you want. But what's with the straitjacket as well? And that's, I feel like, just
that was
Mary
some
Pat.
That was some Mary Pat bullshit. Yeah, you know what it was.
As Mary Pat's like, all right, let's just get her going. And we find out, though, that Sonny is frustrated because he's losing his opportunities to try to get in.
Well, this is the thing. So the godfather of poor Charles is not as powerful as he thinks when it comes to this particular situation. Mostly because there's a new DA in town who's mm-hmm. looking for a reason to throw the book at him. So anything that he does that's unorthodox is going to bring attention to him and maybe put him in the slammer. And if he's in the slammer, then how effective can he be to help Carly? So there's that.
Yes. And I like that we did see him kind of, you know, sneak his way into Ferncliff. Kind of come up on the slide to the orderly there.
Right,
in the hall.
He came up to Rupert and tried to threaten Rupert, and Rupert was like, "Yo, I ain't trying to lose my job over this BS. Peace out."
What I liked about that scene though is that the way that hallway was constructed, it seemed when Rupert went to go leave, like
he just went around a corner, like it was like it was a fun house.
It was
hilarious.
It was like that, and that back hall that he went down seemed like really narrow. Like he almost had to like side shimmy down it.
He was like scoot, scoot, scoot. That I actually noticed that too. That made me laugh.
Like, all right, cool. And what is interesting though, a little bit of friction between Sonny and Diane, because it was Diane's idea to do this,
right? As well, there should be, and you know, and you've never seen that before. Like usually, he's like he loves Diane. Diane can do no wrong, but it was Diane's plan that put Carly and Ferncliff in the first place. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And so now he's kind of, and I don't think Sonny can think clearly because of what's happening with his dad. So I think under any other circumstances, he might have been able to come up with a different plan, like, you know, put his head together with Jason and come up with a different plan. But because he's distracted by Mike, by Michael, I don't think he can think as clearly as he normally would be in a situation like this. And so he's kind of looking to Diane to, you know, take the reins on this and make it right. And she promises that she will. But how long is that plan of hers going to take? Like she said that she was going to have somebody evaluate Carly to make sure that, not make sure, but to deem her as being over-medicated so that they can get her transferred to a different facility. But, like, how long is that going to take?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Well, and it seems when you hear somebody like Dr. Lazarus has plans, it certainly makes it seem like, well.
I was like, is it lobotomy time? I was scared.
He's a visionary. But the other thing that's frustrating me, too, is that, you know, supposedly Jason and the Jackal, their Spinelli, they're trying to solve this as well too, to get evidence on Nell, and yet nobody's really investigated like the fact that Ava's got that blanket. Nobody's been.
That's actually kind of mind boggling to me. But I think that when Carly left the wedding, and she says, you know, all these shenanigans that Nell has pulled, she didn't do it by herself, and she looked straight at Ava when she said it, is eventually going to make somebody investigate Ava because. Like, how long can she not be... Even Griffin was questioning her involvement. And that's her man. So, if in the last time Griffin questioned anything, it was the whole thing with Franco. And so, you know, I...
What is interesting, though, between, like, Ava and Nell's conversations, that they only seem to meet now just to remind each other that they can blow each other up. That's the only reason. It's like, oh, hey, how you doing? By the way... You know, I got this blanket. Oh, by the way, I got this photo.
I think Griffin's probably going to find that blanket.
I hope so.
I think Griffin's going to find that blanket, and he's going to blow the lid off of Ava's little plan.
Although, I guess it all depends on how many details of it that he knows. Because if you just found a blanket in Ava's place, would you naturally assume that, oh, wait, this could be
But why would she have a baby blanket? There's nobody in her life that's a baby. Okay. Nobody.
Then you know what Ava's going to do? She's going to have to, like, fake a pregnancy. Like, I just got it because I'm pregnant now, Griffin, with your child.
But even even Avery's not a baby anymore, so she can't even use the excuse of, oh, this is Avery's old baby blanket. Yeah, no. That's not going to work.
You know, so there's a lot of shenanigans going to be going on about that storyline. But, you know, that's... We can talk about storylines. There are many shows out there that have many great storylines as well. And you know what AfterBuzz does?
What?
We cover those stories.
Really?
We cover those shows. All of them, in fact.
How's that?
We're one of the hardest working online streaming platforms there, covering all these great after shows there.
Is that right?
We're talking dramas, reality, TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder than us.
No.
To make sure that our television fans are taken care of. You know, but sometimes we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, you don't have to worry about it because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz TV YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did, and so in the comments. And you know what? Carla Renata, in between sips of this delicious white wine that she's drinking.
I'm having white Merlot by Berlinger. I'm drinking it over from Black Tomatoes.
She'll give you a customized shout-out just for you. So how can you pass on that? So for now, thanks for being the best fans in the business and in the world, actually, and for helping us be the ESPN of TV talk.
All right. Hey.
Yay. well, you know, if we're talking about Nell, let's get a little bit more into her storyline. Because finally, she gets what she wanted, which is being set up by Michael and Chase, and that is to get married.
Yeah. My favorite moment. Excuse me.
She's allergic to the storyline.
No, I just had a little dust moment. My favorite moment in all of that is when Michael was like, yeah, I set up a room for you. I thought you'd want to be by yourself. And homegirl was like, no. I will be spending my wedding night with my husband. And he was like, I laughed out loud at the TV screen when I saw that.
That made me laugh out loud.
The other thing that made me laugh out loud was the fact that she had that whole conversation with Drew where she literally says the words, how did you get away with murder?
Yeah.
I'm like, Nell, girl, is it the mommy hormones that are getting to her head? Can she not think clearly? Did she really think she was going to have that conversation with Drew and he's not going to say nothing to Michael?
And so I figure this is one of the most unsubtle ways that Nell's ever tried to have a conversation
exactly.
with somebody. Exactly. Like, oof. I mean,
it's the mommy hormones. It has to be because I'm like, oh, girl, what you doing?
Yeah, I mean, and the fact that Jason brought in Drew to give him a little tip off that something could be going on with Michael and Nell to keep an eye out for him. I mean, Drew's going into that conversation with that on his mind. Mm, so as soon as you hear that.
Thank goodness, because what if he hadn't been tipped off? What would he have told her?
Yeah, and well, yeah, and he starts spilling some of those stone cold secrets.
I'm just not like, I love the fact that Drew is there, kind of like as this seemingly unnuanced buffer between the two of them. But baby, I feel like I'm really interested to see what exactly she's going to do, because we know that whatever she does, I think she's probably caught on to Michael at this point.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. And I don't think she's caught on to Chase just yet. But when she catches on to Chase and she's already, sniffed out Michael's situation, it's going to be consequences and repercussions for real.
Well, I mean, she's figured out that Michael seems to be after the baby and not her. But do you think that she's figured out that, oh, Michael, this is all a big sting operation to get me
I think she's close.
You think so?
I do. I think she's close, because every time he leaves the room, she's like, where are you going? Where are you going now? Like, where are you? Like, she's so paranoid every time he leaves a room.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, I feel like, but that is also because I think, unlike her ex-fiancé that died on the boat there, I think she genuinely loves Michael, like almost to an obsessive level. So
I think she genuinely loves Michael too, but, and I feel bad for, in that respect, I do feel bad for her, because she kind of set herself up for failure,
Very true. But I feel like any reason that he can't, if she can't be kind of control and make sure that he's only seeing things the way she wants him to, then I think she gets worried that somebody's going to give him some like new startling piece of information that's going to make him flip on her.
I don't know, but what I do know is that she's dangerous.
That's
because
true.
She's dangerous because she's got mommy hormones going on, and she's paranoid. And then Carly jumped into the mix, and she knows that he loves his mother more than life itself, and that it's going to take something huge for him to roll over on his mom. She knows that deep down inside. She knows that that's the truth.
Yeah.
Well,
it's because at the beginning of the week, we end up having Michael coming over to talk to Sonny and Jason. And Sonny just lays it down and says, hey, hold on. You got to bring me in on this.
Right.
I've got to know what's going on.
Right.
And, understandably so. I mean, Michael's, his reluctance to bring him in was getting a little irritating. It's like, just tell your dad what's going on.
I wasn't irritated by that, because Sonny is known to, just like his mother, Carly, is known to overreact and known to overstep stuff before it needs to be overstepped. So, and he's also dealing on heightened emotions because of his dad. So, just look at what he did. He brought Chase over and threatened Chase and said, if anything happens to Michael, I'm going to blame you.
Yeah, that.
You know what I mean?
I know. Thanks, Sonny. Great. We hadn't figured that out.
Like, how is that going to help the situation? It's not. Like, you threatening people that are helping your son? Like, how do you think that's going to work out? And there's a part of me that thinks that Chase isn't absolutely 100% on board with this plan with Michael. Like, there's a part of me that thinks he's gonna roll over on him at the last minute. It's just something shady about him. I don't know what it is.
And that he's just gonna take off with Nell and they're gonna head for the hills?
Uh-huh.
I
get the shadiness about him. Like, I get, like, there's moments where I see him, like when Nell called him from the bedroom saying, you were right about Michael, you were right about everything, and you see him on the other end of the phone going, yes. Like, I see in that moment that he might be on board, but then there's some other moments where his face is not giving that. His face is giving, like, I can't wait to throw you under the bus.
The only thing I would think that it wouldn't be that is if Dante was still around, I might think that he'd go that direction and kind of do a double cross.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that if we got rid of Chase and we have Dante gone, then we have no cops at the PCBD that we know as focal characters.
That's a good point. That's true.
And then it's just,
we do have one cop. We have Jordan.
Yeah, that's true. We have Jordan kind of, renting out Curtis and Sam whenever she can to help them out. I don't have any detectives anymore. Curtis, Sam, help me out, please.
Oh, Lord. I can't.
So we'll see at the end of the week. She finally makes a call to Chase and says, all right, Chase. We need to talk. So this could be a nice. I'm contacting you for murder.
I'm really interested to see how this is going to play out. More, not so much for Michael, but for Chase.
Yeah, it's for somebody that I was really kind of not a big fan of his when he first came on, especially that whole stuff with Mike, and he was his rigidity with police procedure.
Well, he's still like that. Remember, when we get to the next storyline, we'll talk about that when we get to that, but he's still like that. that hasn't really changed to a certain extent. And that's the kind, that's the thing about his character that makes you want to snatch a knot in his butt. It just makes you want to take him and turn him into a pretzel, like for real.
You know, I've never heard that expression before, snatch a knot in his butt.
Well, there's another euphemism that I could use, but I don't want to say that on AfterBuzz.
Well, we'll share for after show hours that I'm excited to hear this. Because, Chase, we've also kind of teased a little bit more with his relationship with Finn, and the idea was like, oh, I give you a late birthday present, and these are, Red Sox tickets. Oh, it just happens to be the same week that my dad and, you know, my stepmom, your real mom, coming into town. And it's, yeah, I guess I'm just...
That was like, why did we have that moment? It was like, that moment kind of came out of nowhere. It's like it came out of nowhere, it happened, and then it was over, and there was no more discussion about it ever. Like, really? Why do we have that? We're so engulfed in this whole other storyline that's dealing with Valentine and Nina and Liesl and Maxie and Michael and Nell and Sonny and Carly. It's like it was almost like they were like, let's just throw something in there for measure and see how the fans react to it. Like, I honestly feel like they watched this show because Kelly, I think last week Kelly told me that they called me out during the Stone Cold and Jackal show. And what they do is at the end of the Stone Cold and Jackal show, they find a tweet that they clown for whatever reason. And there was a tweet that I did to Maurice Bernard that they clowned. And they're like, Maurice Bernard barely came on our show. Why do you think he's going to come there?
Oh,
I'm like, okay, fine. Then why don't y'all come?
Interesting. Well, you know, I do look out. As usual, I like to do my weekly look out at the many seats we have here in our studio.
I hate you.
And, you know, I don't see Maurice Bernard, nor do I see Steve Burton.
I hate you.
No. Okay. All right. Okay.
This is the thing. My friend Sonia Eddy,
yes,
who plays Epiphany on General Hospital, would oftentimes invite me to set visits. Many of those set visits involved me meeting Steve Burton, involved me meeting Maurice Bernard, involved me meeting, I can't remember the young lady that plays Elizabeth, but I met her.
Oh, nice.
I met quite a few of the regulars, and then she also invited me to a Christmas party one time where I sat in a corner for a good 20 minutes talking to Maurice Bernard about what it was like to play Sonny for 30 years. Like, I had this conversation with him in the corner at a Christmas party.
It'd be great to have this conversation with him here.
On the air.
In the studio.
But he'll come.
Really?
But, you know, Maurice, yeah, I think he'll either come or he'll call in. But this is the thing about Maurice Bernard. Maurice Bernard is an intensely private individual. Even though he's a soap opera star, he's intensely private. And he is extremely shy compared to the character that he plays on General Hospital. So you just got to catch brother at the right time. But, you know, I got, five more months to make it happen?
Yeah, I don't know. Time is running out fast. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it'll happen before 2019 for sure.
I don't know. I mean, if Steve Burton says that we can't get him on the show because he can then barely Steve get him on his
then
podcast.
Then Steve Burton and what's his face? Jackal need to come.
Okay, we'll get him in.
I'm going to try. Well, Michelle Stafford as Nina. Somebody coming.
Uh-oh.
I don't know who, but somebody coming.
All right, so now we're broadening our focus there. It used to be Maurice or bust, and now it's
no,
just
no,
kind of
no.
Like we're just kind
I'm
of
not saying
up.
Maurice or bust. I'm saying we just need some people to come over here because, you know, they go visit everybody else's show. They can come over to AfterBuzz, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, check out. Kyle will bring wine. Look at that.
And I will make you a personalized cocktail. It can either be wine, champagne, or a personalized cocktail that I make with a shaker. I know, right?
Oh.
I'm just saying, because I am a really good bartender. I'm a really good bartender, so let's work that out.
All
and
right,
y'all
yeah.
come and visit AfterBuzz General Hospital Report.
I just want to see Carla mixing drinks. That would be fantastic. So please.
Oh, yeah. I'll sit over in the corner. I'll let them sit up here, and I'll sit over in the corner, and I'll just be shaking the shaker and making drinks.
I
won't even discuss the show. I'll just be like, hey, shake, shake, shake. Shake, shake, shake. Shake your drinky. Shake your drinky.
I don't know how any of this GH stars could pass up an offer like that. So we were talking about Finn and Chase, and of course we did another scene with Finn, which I do like, that you may not be a police officer, but because you're in the beginnings of a relationship with somebody that used to be a police commissioner, still
right.
has heavy involvement with them,
right.
you could just still come in, hey, I would appreciate an update on the search for Peter August.
Let's just talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about the fact that Finola Hughes, like they mentioned in the chat room, decided this moment to take a vacation. It's like, girl, can you let your storyline play out before you went on vacation?
Well, I'm sure she gave him plenty of advance. I mean, they're writing out to that. So they know when that comes. And sure, they just kind of build this in for that amount of time. And they figure like, well, just
first of all, her son is in a cabin in a fire. You can't be there for that?
Well, when we did see her leave town, the driver of her town car had a gun in the front seat. So she may not have even made it to Berkeley, and somebody could be making those texts back to Finn. So we don't know. I mean, for all we know, that she's been captured for some reason, whether it's a plot by Ballantine or somebody else.
That doll ain't been captured. Come on, you and I both know that.
You don't think so?
No.
I have a feeling the fact that we
have not heard... This is a chick who is a member of the WSB and has evaded FaceSign on numerous occasions. She is nobody's captive.
I'm going to bet that she's been taken for some reason, and that's why she's not been able to communicate or come back to Port Charles in a timely fashion to help in the search.
No, that bitch is on vacation.
Well, we don't realize she is, but I feel like in the world of GH, Anna is disposed of for the moment.
Which I have to say, so I posted on social media this while we're on the subject of Anna. I posted on social media this week, and I'm sure the fans of General Hospital know this, but for those of you who are under a rock and don't know, Finola Hughes was one of the original Cats in the musical Cats by Andrew Lloyd Webber. And they posted some video where she was dancing on some talk show as a cat. It was kind of fantabulous, and I reposted that. It was kind of fantabulous. So if you haven't seen that, you have to see her. She's a wonderful dancer. Wonderful dancer.
Look at her go. She's a multi-hyphenate, I like to say.
She is. I mean, don't you remember back in the day she was in...
Staying Alive.
Yes, with John Travolta.
Yeah.
She was like the evil girl in the movie. She was like the villain of the of Staying Alive.
Well, she is off the canvas now, so Finn feels like I can just go to the police department when I want to get an update.
He needs to get over himself. Like, he's doing too much.
He's doing it for the woman that he loves.
He's doing too much.
But we finally, at least get a conclusion to the Peter August being bound and captive in somewhere. It used to be a cabin in the woods. Now it was the horse stables there on Spoon Island.
Mm-hmm.
But those went up in flames.
When, I know. Yeah,
there you go. When Obrecht said, you know, that's it. I'm going to get that lighter.
Well, she snapped. Didn't she snap like a twig?
Yeah.
I felt bad because, you know, as crazy as Liesl is, I kind of enjoyed her on General Hospital. So I'm kind of sad that we won't be seeing as much of her. But who knows? They may work that out for us. Like, maybe her and Carly will be sharing a cell at Ferncliff. We don't know. But
she could be the new Heather Weber, where
or that
we always kind of visit her.
Just kind of comes out every once in a while. But she snapped, and the way she snapped, like the way they showed her snapping, was really quite interesting. How she was standing at the fire, and she was like, "Nina was right, Nina was right," and she slowly but surely backs away while Maxie's having a nervous breakdown,
mm-hmm.
And then nobody, because everybody's so focused on the fire, nobody seems to notice the fact that homegirl has just like split the scene.
Yeah, it was interesting when we cut back and all of a sudden she's back on the dock in Port Charles. I'm like, what?
That made me laugh. I'm like, how does she, what do they call those things? What do they call those things?
Of the launches?
The launch. How does she get a launch? Like, I've seen everybody else call for a launch. Liesl didn't call for a launch. She just jumped on one.
She brought her own boat. That's what you do when you're being maniacal.
Well, Liesl just jumped on a launch while it was pulling away from land. That made me laugh out loud.
But we see she takes a little too long. Is all bad guys when you stand around to gloat at what you think is a success, you know, you get busted. Curtis and Finn walk in on her, and they keep her detained until the police come.
But I felt bad for her, though. Didn't you feel bad for her?
It was interesting.
Like, I didn't think she was gonna snap like that. I didn't think she was gonna snap to the point where she didn't care whether her niece or Heinrich burned up. Like, she didn't even try to save Nina.
No.
She just, like, bolted out the door laughing like a maniacal mess. I was like, ooh, no.
No, she left Nina behind. And then you're right. She does have that kind of breakdown there on Spoot Island. But once she gets back to the docks in Port Charles,
she's lucid again.
Yeah. And she says, tell Anna we're even.
I thought, ooh, that's evil down.
Yeah.
That was, like, venomous evil.
So, yeah, I mean, it does feel like this is going to be a tough one for... I do think that once she finds out that Nina's still alive, I think she may take all the consequences on herself. So, and the fact that Nina tried to help Peter at the end, I think Peter won't turn on Nina, so I feel like Nina could get out of this relatively unscathed.
I think Nina's going to get out of it. I think she will get out of it unscathed, because I think Peter will probably try to help her if he gets out. Mm-hmm. But I love the fact that when she said, "How did I get out?" and they said, "Valentine saved you," the look on Valentine's face, like, he looked like he genuinely was upset that she was in peril and that his life was just going to come crashing down around him if she hadn't lived, which kind of touched my heart, because up until that moment, I kind of thought Valentine was a little heartless.
Well, I feel like he's always cared about things, those close to him, and certainly Charlotte, for one, absolutely.
Yeah, but he absolutely has unconditional love for Charlotte, but other than that,
I feel like the way he's been really aggressive, you know, pursuing and trying to woo Nina back, but I felt like it was going to be hard for Nina because she's already taken him back once, and to have the same thing kind of blow up in her face again and say that's it, it was going to take something really extraordinary if she was even going to attempt a reconciliation.
I think she'll probably take him back after this. Like, he saved her life. How can you not take somebody back after they saved your life?
Would you take somebody back if they saved your life?
Hell yeah.
All right. Jury's out on me.
Hell yeah.
Depends on how
Because this is the thing. When you are faced with a situation where you don't have time to rationalize what your actions are going to be, and your first school of thought is, I have to save her, then that means you felt more about me than you even thought you did, or I thought you did. So there has to be points given for that.
Let's go back for 1 second with Valentine. When he does put two and two together. About the bartender at the Metro Court. When he finally...
Wait. Let's just talk about that for a second. Let's just talk about the bartender at the Metro Court. That scene made me laugh out loud. Because he was all, I don't know how you would know me. Oh, I'm an actor. And he says it like... He says it like he's like Leonardo DiCaprio or something. He's like, maybe you see me in this. And when he goes to reenact this commercial where he's pouring coffee, child, I thought I would pee. I laughed so hard. It was pure. Whoever that actor is that played that part, that was pure comedy right there.
He did.
It was funny.
No small parts right there. He showed that.
It was funny down. And then the way he described Nina, he's like, what does she look like? He was like, she's tall, she's a strawberry blonde, very intense. And Valentine's like, yeah, I know who that is.
And I did like Valentine just reaching over the counter.
You're like, who are you? Who sent you? Who are you working for? Oh, my God. That whole situation made me laugh out loud. It was funny.
But give it up for that that bartender, though, because even when like he was kind of busted, he still took time to like, hey.
Get that flyer.
Yes. Make sure you check out my show.
When he whipped out that flyer, I'm like, oh, my God. That is so apropos to what an actor that is so full of themselves would do. Like, yeah, you may never see me in this commercial, but here, why don't you come check out this play? And Valentine's like, yeah, I'll try to do that. Oh, I laughed out loud. That made my stomach hurt when I watched that. I laughed out loud. It was funny. Thank you for bringing that up.
That was probably the highlight of the week for me, was that interactions there.
That was pretty funny. That was pretty funny.
We do see a little bit with Maxie and Lulu, and I guess continuing the kind of rehabilitation of that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Maxie's trying to get to Spoon Island. Lulu happens to come by from being on a Haunted Star. Says, "Oh, I've got a boat from the Haunted Star. We could take you over there." But they do have the moment where Maxie wants to go in and try to find Peter,
and Lulu stops her from being her own worst enemy. She's like, "No, you cannot go in there. You have two children that need you." And I'm like, if Maxie thinks Lulu has not redeemed herself from the whole Peter Heinrich situation and Nathan dying, that moment was it.
So all is forgiven. Like, you got to get off of Lulu's case now.
No, I wouldn't say all is forgiven. Like, there's something to be said for the fact that, yes, she did put Nathan in danger. And, yes, by her doing that with her quote-unquote journalistic duty, it did result in Nathan losing his life. But at the end of the day, Lulu was her best friend before the shit hit the fan, so to speak. So at some point, you either got to forgive. I'm not saying for her to forget, because you will never forget. But at some point, you have to be the bigger person and forgive. And Maxie seemed to be on that journey of forgiving Lulu. And then Lulu steps it up even a step further by saying, look, you can go in that fire if you want to, but you have two kids that need you. You know, James has already lost his dad. Do you want him to lose his mom, too? And her face was like, no.
Yeah, can't do that. To cut back and focus a little bit on Maxie, mm-hmm. I did like earlier in the week mm-hmm. when she's at the hospital, mm-hmm. just, you know, doing whatever. But that Sam and Curtis are also around looking for, you know, trying to track down where Peter August may be and where at Warbrook is.
Sam and Curtis are getting on my nerves. They are not super sleuths. They are like, I don't even know what they are. Super sloths. I'm like, what is going on? Yeah, I'm not having them. It takes them a little too long to, like, get to the point. I'm like, what y'all doing?
Yeah, it does drag out. And Sam's, the way that she says hi to Maxie, what are you doing here? I'm like, whoa, ease up, Sam.
Right, like, slow your roll, girl.
Anybody getting me in a hospital? what does it matter? Jeez Louise.
It was funny. It was.
As we're getting ready to wrap up, though, I want to ask who we get the start of perhaps a potential meet-cute between Drew and the new district attorney in town, where she squirts mustard
on his back.
That was quite the shot, because she was like 7 or 8 feet away from him. That mustard launched.
Let me tell you something. I kind of like the fact that it looked like they're trying to set them up to hook up. But what's going to be interesting is how Dr. Kim takes that news. And if Dr. Kim is going to be like, nah, it's good, and then, you know, go full throttle after Drew.
I feel like Julian is ready to have a little bit deeper of a committed relationship than Kim is.
I think that's going to be a problem when she finally gets to the point where, because she's going to get to the point where she's like, you know what, I need to be with Drew. Julian's going to have an issue with that, and that's going to incite a whole different type of storyline, I think.
And he's just going to go and start wailing.
Because think about it, he does not like taking no for an answer. Look how he did Alexis.
Well, the hope is that he has become a better person since past that.
Yeah, no, he hasn't. Because look at when he came to Sunny with the picture of Mike and the other dude.
Yeah.
And he came to Sunny with that picture, and he knows that the reason Sunny doesn't want him to dig further is that there's some issue with Mike there's a story behind that picture that he's not aware of. So he knows that, and he's like, no. I mean, at the end of the day, Julian is not a tiger that's going to change his spots. He's just not.
Or stripes. Yeah.
He's just not.
But he does have that talk with Kim about saying, hey, you know, maybe I shouldn't antagonize Sonny. Let me just do what I want to do. Let Sonny do what he wants to do. But easier for Julian to say, because as soon as that construction starts on that back
room, it's going to be ugly.
It's going to be. real quick, it's getting ready to wrap up. Just some hot casting updates there for everybody.
Okie dokie.
Some news. Casting. AfterBuzz TV News. Well, we are going to do a recasting of Jordan. I don't know exactly who that's going to be.
We said that last week, yeah.
Yeah, so it wasn't confirmed, like, because we know Vanessa's got a new show over mm-hmm. back in Canada. But it wasn't sure of, like, oh, is she just going to go to reoccurring and mm-hmm. perhaps still be able to pop in and do Jordan stuff? But she's definitely leaving GH because the demands of that new show, they're going to make it difficult to be able to have her as accessible to GH as they'd like. So
right.
She's going to be leaving the show. They will be doing a recast of it. So at least we'll still be able to continue the Curtis and Jordan story.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. That they're not going to put the kibosh on that.
But another actor from GH is actually got another gig. That's Billy Miller. He's also landed the role of Alex Dunn on Apple's new thriller drama series, Are You Sleeping? The part's only reoccurring, so he should be able to do
that's
both
Octavia
that and
Spencer's
GH.
New show. Yeah. They had a lot of people on that show.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll still be able to get our weekly dose of Billy Miller.
Okay.
Yeah, especially now that there would be a potential new relationship on the horizon between him and the new AD or the district
attorney. DA. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Then we also have, of course, we have Tristan Rogers, Robert Scorpio, back in town soon.
Yes!
Can't get enough of that.
We love Tristan Rogers.
Yes, so he's back to continue. Now that we're going to have Peter August in custody, so he's going to continue the pursuit of making sure that he stays behind bars, whether he gets there.
Oh, so that means he's going to be saved from the fire.
Oops. Whoops.
Oops.
Uh-oh.
Spoiler alert.
That's right. And then, of course, you know, we do have Kevin out of town right now, John Lindstrom, away for a little bit.
Visiting Laura in Europe.
Yes, absolutely. So in the meantime, we've got good old Dr. Lazarus, played by Casey Biggs, who will be making an appearance with his face, not just necessarily the name, soon to see what kind of shenanigans that he's got in store for Carly.
Ooh, nice.
And there are potential thoughts and rumors that perhaps there's more to Mary Pat's dislike towards Carly than just being a domineering, kind of overbearing nurse.
That would be nice to see, because she's particularly nasty to Carly for appears no apparently good reason.
Yeah. In fact, people are assuming, like, oh, the fact that she keeps referring to her as Caroline and is so adamant about it.
Let me tell you something. Her, every time she says Caroline, is like nails on a chalkboard to me. I just want to punch her in her throat through the TV.
Yeah.
Like, I really just want to go boom.
You don't want to Carla. You don't want to Carla throw a punch.
I don't want to punch her in her throat. No, that's right.
But ladies and gentlemen, I guess we have one hot, super hot second to do like one rapid fire prediction.
Your AfterBuzz TV prediction. Mm-hmm.
Carla, I look to you. A rapid fire prediction.
I am predicting that the resolution, not the resolution, but the reveal of why Mary Pat hates Caroline or Carly so much will probably be revealed. And I am predicting that Sonny will make a decision as to whether or not he needs to put Mike into a home or not.
That was an interesting discussion between him and Felix this week. And
that was a beautiful scene. I love that scene.
Yeah. Shame we didn't get a chance to talk about that any further, though. But those of you that have not watched all of GH this past week, go watch that scene between Sonny
Felix
and Felix
and Sonny. It's really, really beautiful. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Really some good work by the both
Most
of them.
Most definitely.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the GH Report. But as always, like us on Facebook, give us those 5 stars on iTunes, subscribe to the YouTube channel, and thanks everybody for hopping in the chat, sharing your thoughts. If you want to continue the conversation with us even after the show's over, maybe get a Twitter throat punch from Carla. Carla, where can they find you?
Did you call me Carola?
No, I called you Carla.
Oh, I was like, ooh, my
Carol,
ears.
Where can they find you?
I was
you?
Like, what's happening? you can find me across all you can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic, and you can check me out at 5 o'clock right here at Black Hollywood Live with Black Tomatoes, my film review show.
Look at that. And find me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, we'll be back next time with another super hot, very entertaining episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.